Blog Talk Hello. Radio.
Hello.
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 Yes, this
Hello.
Is Minister Miles. Yes.
This is candidate Davina M. Anderson.
This is Elder Yvette.
This is Elder Kamisha.
Mm-hmm. LaJean Burton.
Pastor Mel.
Well, amen. Amen. Anyone else? All right. Well, we have our gentleman on the line. Amen, Sharita. All right, so we will open up in prayer.
Yes, ma'am. This is Minister Miles. I will.
Amen.
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this moment right now. We thank you for the blessing of the AEN Network. We thank you, God, for your grace for this process. And, Lord God, all the candidates that are undergoing, Lord God, this ordination, all those that are undergoing, Lord God, the servicing and stepping into their places in ministry. We thank you, Lord God, for every leader, Lord God, that is giving their time and continues to serve the kingdom. And, Father, we ask right now that you would bless them and bless the labor in which they render unto you. God, we thank you for the opportunity, and we pray, Lord God, that everything that goes forth on tonight will be in order and in decency. We also pray, Lord God, for clarity and understanding for every bit of instruction, every prayer that is sent forth. Father, we pray, Lord God, and we ask for your kingdom to be glorified and honored in and through it. Lord, we bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for your obedience and your time.
Amen.
I pray that your week is progressing and you are navigating through your questions and through all of the requirements that you have before you, whether you're doing portfolios or special projects. If you have any questions or any concerns or just in need of further direction, this is the time we've set aside for you to do so. So your phones are off mute, and so we do ask that you take your phones off mute when you are ready to talk, but then when you're not speaking.
Officer, I don't know how many other people, but you keep coming in and out and breaking up, and I can't hear anything you're saying.
Okay, is that true for others on the line?
I hear you loud and clear, Overseer.
Okay, then. All right.
Overseer, yes. This is candidate Davina Anderson. I hear you loud and clear as well.
All right. Sometimes it's our location that is, not picking up the signal well. But, again, remember, you can always go on in the archive and pick up the entire session, and the session would be done in the quality that you would need to hear it perfectly. And so we do thank you for letting us know. We have some presentations for today. So those in charge of the presentation, Elder Deborah, I have to take you off.
Good evening. Yes.
You're live now. Okay. All right. So if you want to do the lead-in for our presentation.
Okay. Good evening. Just wanted to say before the presentations come in, just to remind you of the format that we're trying to stick to. Excuse me. In this hour, there are about four key things we want the accountability partner to. Number one, introduce themselves. Number two, introduce and tell us a little bit about their candidate or the ordinee. And when I say a little bit about, like, maybe whatever their aspirations, do they work with youth? Are they working in a church situation? Are they working in a parachurch situation, outreach, that kind of thing? Give us some kind of idea of, you know, how they're connected and what their aspirations are. And then thirdly, they are to set up the scripture topic for today, not teach or not share on that topic, but just set it up. And then it is the candidate who will come in and share what God has given them around that element of accountability. This entire process should take about 10 minutes for both of you combined. So with the accountability partner, I want them to be mindful. You should be able to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about the candidate, and set that up just in a couple of minutes, and give the ordinee the 5 minutes or 7 minutes to be able to share what God has given them, you know, in this hour. So, and if we can keep that down to 10 minutes, then we can have time for all of the other things that need to take place during these calls as we go forward. Any questions? Amen. Then Tamika Hardy, I believe, is up today. So that accountability partner, the accountability for Tamika Hardy, the floor is yours.
So Lynette Harris, Minister Lynette Harris, are you on the line? Okay. Well, Sister Tamika, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Okay, I will introduce you to this fine young lady who is a phenomenal community-oriented, family-based young woman who has a very specific flow and direction she wants her life to take. She is acknowledging the move of God. She was one of our candidates last year in baptism. And she came forth seeking God's will for her future, his life, his heart for her life. And she has surrendered it, and she is a faithful member of Laborers for Christ Word Life Center. She has worked in areas involving our youth, bringing into them interesting, very, very interesting, a very creative teaching and instructional activity. And so it is with really great joy I introduce you to Sister Tamika, who has a family background with the church, and she is going to speak on active listeners that's coming out of James 1 and 19. On the accountability scriptural element of why it is important and what the Bible has said about that element of our accountability interaction and contact. The floor is yours, Sister Tamika. So
she's a
chef.
Yes,
all right.
A chef and a food scientist.
Okay,
food scientist.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, I just want to preface by saying please forgive the noise in the background. I think they're like some contractors working and they started up a generator or some sort of motor like right at the beginning of the call. So if you all can't hear me well, please let me know. But please bear with the sound. I'm hoping to kind of buffer the audio out, so the background noise out. So I'm sorry about that. But okay. So, yes, the scripture that I was assigned for active listening was James 1:19, and I quote it from the Amplified Version. Understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear, careful, be careful, a thoughtful listener, slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words and slow to anger, one who's patient, reflective, and forgiving. So I was given the topic of active listening, and I kind of want to give like a bit of a juxtaposition of the concept and the natural sense with how it plays into accountability, or how it can be used with accountability to God and even, you know, as a tool in ministry. To give off the bat a couple of the scriptures that I was inspired by or I'm citing from or referring to are James 1:19, Proverbs 7:1-4, Proverbs 15:1, and Proverbs 17:27. So in the natural sense, active listening is a communicative technique or tool that's useful for counseling, training, fostering intercultural interactions, or utilized for conflict resolution. It's good, you know, a good way to impart a message or to have an effective means of communication. And there are three primary components to it. One, the first, which is comprehending, the second, which is retaining, and the third, which is response. So in the natural sense of utilizing this technique, comprehension occurs when there's a common ground or common baseline of context for the communication. So to parallel with what it means in the spiritual, in comprehension, the message is given by the speaker, and utilizing that common ground, that commonality, it gives the listener room to take in and understand what's being said and taking a moment to process the information rather than having an immediate reaction. So spiritually speaking, you know, God is speaking to you in whatever way he does, whether it's through revelation, through reading the word, or in dreams or prophetic utterances, or, you know, urgings of the spirit to act in a certain way, taking a moment to listen to what's being said and meditate on it, if you will, to get a clear understanding of what's being said in your accountability walk with God and your spiritual well-being. When praying or taking silent time with God, take time to get a good understanding of what's being said. The second facet or portion of active listening is retaining. So in the natural sense, one would attach or associate a memory or some sort of mental cue to help making recollection of the communication easier or more relatable. Spiritually speaking, if God is speaking and, you know, you want to make sure you got the word right, whether it's praying for more clarity or more revelation, that's one way that you can retain or even to write it down to reference at a later time when, you know, more revelation may be granted to you. So retaining as another portion of that communicative process. And the third element was response. So in the natural, it shifts the role of the listener from a passive participant in the conversation to a proactive one, where action is to be taken place, and they become the speaker, and they act upon what was being said to acknowledge that the communication went forth. So spiritually speaking, in an accountability situation where that's the case, acting on what it is that God said, or you know, letting your yes be yes, or actually going forth and taking action on what it is that you were being told to do, are ways to incorporate the active listening into spiritual walk and into accountability. And then furthermore, to kind of flip it around and pay it forward, if you will. So as you minister, by actively listening to what it is that God will have you to do, and internalizing it through the retention and responding, you know, that makes us more open and more susceptible to ministry when we're dealing with people, whether it's listening to something that they're going through and giving them a word or a correction that's in love, or just being a listening, compassionate ear for those who may be going through by letting utilizing this tool and learning how God deals with us and how He communicates with us, being able to in turn bestow that upon other people. So yeah, that's my piece on active listening. And a couple of the that concludes it.
Amen.
Are there any questions for Sister Tamika?
Mm-hmm.
Elder?
I'm trying to get off mute. I'm sorry. That was an excellent presentation. It was really good the way you juxtaposed the whole idea of the like the clinical or in the natural versus the spiritual, and then added that third component of accountability. That was really good. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Has anybody found that element spiritually, scripturally supported in their interaction with their accountability partner? And how would you say it was helpful to you? Anybody?
And does it have to be a candidate?
Pardon?
Hello? Does it have to be a candidate or an accountability partner?
No, not it. Go right ahead, lady.
Can she read the scripture again? Can you read the text again? Can you remind us of what scripture you're presenting?
Sure. It was James 1:19.
Yeah, in the Amplified.
Yes, in the Amplified.
Which says?
It says, understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters, let everyone be quick to hear. Be a careful, thoughtful listener, slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words, and slow to anger, patient, reflective, and forgiving.
Amen. Good version.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
All right, right?
It's
great.
Yes.
It's great. This is Lynette, Minister
yes,
Lynette,
ma'am.
And the other part of the presentation. But I really appreciate the accountability of understanding that God has uniquely given us words of instruction, because it's so important for the lifestyle He needs to develop in us through His word and through trusting in Him. So often when we are not slow to speak, you know, we are saying that we're taking the position that what I'm saying is more important, and you need to hear what I'm saying. And if you don't hear what I'm saying, then I get angry. And so then I really say some things that have no eternal impact and have a very short lifespan as far as getting a position of what I need to have happen. I have learned with this that when I trust God to take care of my personal issues that I have with something and take the road of or the position that I seek to understand, then to be understood, then I'm trusting God to, if there is any misunderstandings, that He will reveal or He will clean it up. He's the only one that can clean up any reputations or even exalt us in due season. So when I take the position that I'm going to listen and understand you, then I can hear you better. And getting back to the active listening portion of it, we recognize that we give full attention to that person. We're showing them that we're listening to them and for their issues. We give them the feedback that we feel they need. Our body language is intact. We're focusing on them. And we're not judging them immediately. We're not interrupting them because we know that there's another argument and something else going on underneath that. And then we respond appropriately. And in that time, as we're hearing, God is speaking too. We have positioned ourselves to hear what God is saying. And as she had said earlier, when we do that, we can give the right word in the right season or the right word that is needed for that time so that some eternal impact can be made and nothing short-lived. So,
amen.
I was reading something that just really kind of just opened my mind to a lot of things. And one of them was saying, when we if we don't slow down, if we allow ourselves to get angry, then when we are quick to wrath, we are acting on our immediate desires and our reactions. And like I said earlier, we feel a lack of control, and we feel that we are losing control. And when we feel that we are losing control, we get angry. And then but we got to know that God can help us control, and we can slow down our angry response. Because if we refuse to let anger control us, it's an act of faith and a choice to believe that our Father is in control of it all. And we understand anger it's a short-term solution. It has no eternal impact. And it doesn't contribute to the righteousness of God. And we pay a high price for that. When we become angry with people and we go off or we tell them whatever, we lose our integrity and trust for others and our self-control. And this is what really blew me away when I read this. We have to trust God and believe that God, everything about God and how he expresses himself is righteous, including his anger. And human anger nearly always is an expression of human selfishness, fear, or desire to control the world around us. Those that trust the Father to be in control, to provide what is needed, to bring justice when the time is right, can afford to let go of human anger. So just to finish up, as we had said, listening in the natural helps us develop the trust with other people, help us develop a level of interaction where we give our all and our focus to what we are hearing. Because we're getting input all the time. We get sounds from everywhere. But when we take the position of listening, we are making a decision that we are going to take hold of this process. So active listening is a process, and we are bringing meaning to what we are hearing. So as I said, just to finish up, I think the best example of when God speaks, we should listen is Mary in Luke 1 through 28 to 38. So these are the principles I want to kind of hit home again. We pay attention. We give you give your listener the right response, body language, verbal cues, and we provide deferred judgment, and we respond appropriately. So in that story, as we start with 28, We say,
we're going to have to cut it short here. Honestly, the comments are excellent, well stated, but we do need to move on. We only got an hour show here, okay? And we still are waiting on the presentation for our wrestling with Pastor Joseph Bivens. So we don't want to cut his time off. Plus, there are things that we want to share going forward as it relates to your offices and your gift mix. So, again, as Elder Deborah has said originally, we do want to, you know, we may have to cut it down, you guys. Maybe we tell y'all 5 to 7 minutes, and then y'all won't go 15. But apparently everybody loves and preach. No, and that's a blessing. That is a blessing. But this just isn't always the best venue to do it, only because of our time constraints. So we do want to thank you, Joseph Pastor Joseph Bivens and his accountability partner, Pastor James Smith.
Oh, Overseer?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I say yes. One thing, please, before you move on? I just want to say to Elder Minister Lynette that one thing that really jumped out at me when you said when we speak to folks and we know that there is another argument underneath, that to me was really powerful because I think a lot of times when we're trying to rather than understand, you know, we know that something else is going on and we continue to push the envelope. So I thank you for that because I think we need to be conscious of those things that happen, that little microaggression sometimes that we encounter. So there were a lot of nuggets in what you were sharing, you know. Like Overseer said, unfortunately, we do have to move on, but that was really powerful. Thank you for that.
And thank you for the opportunity to share.
All right, so we want to give the floor to our brethren as they present to us on our scriptural preparation, prophetically speaking. Pastor James Smith, could you introduce to us Pastor Joseph Bivens? Hello. Take your phones off mute. Pastor Bivens, you can go forth if your accountability partner is not on the line.
Amen. Thank you very much, Overseer.
Absolutely. Give us a little history of yourself.
Well, briefly, I've been in ministry over 20 years. Started as an armor bearer for a pastor, and I got my call to the ministry through Apostle James E. Lanimore Sr. As I got ordained through. I'm sorry.
You're good.
Go ahead.
Take a moment. Go ahead.
Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Yes, we can hear you fine.
I got ordained minister in January of 2014. So I've been around ministry for quite a number of years. I've been a member of Valley Kingdom Ministries, working with Tophilia Prayer Ministry. So I've been around the ministry for quite some time. Hello?
Amen. So your presentation. Yes. So your presentation.
Okay. I thought I lost it. Okay. All right. Well, kingdom blessings.
We're just on mute.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Kingdom blessings to everybody. Thank you all for this opportunity. The scripture that I was is outlined for this for the word wrestling is Genesis chapter 32 verse 22. I'm going to be brief. I'm not going to be long, but I'm just going to. Go through the points that I have here of Genesis chapter 32, just to outline what I'm getting into here. We have Jacob, who was faced with a crisis in 32. He was returning to Canaan in obedience to the Lord, which meant that he had to face his brother Esau. Now, he had issues with Esau because he was afraid to face him because he had cheated him for over 20-plus years, and he didn't know how he was going to receive him. So he sent messengers to send messages to Esau to try to make peace because he knew that his relationship with Esau would be rough. So when the messengers came back, they told him that Esau was coming to meet him, and he was bringing 400 men with him. But, of course, you know, with that, Jacob froze in fear, and he knew that Esau had the capacity to destroy him. So he was at odds in his situation, and he needed help. So the one thing he did was he prayed to the Lord to help deliver him from Esau, which is reflected in Genesis chapter 32, verse 9 through 12. But he didn't know how the Lord was going to deliver him from Esau because it was a situation that he could not handle. So in his quiet time, after he sent his family away, he ended up wrestling, as the scripture talks about, with a man, as the scripture outlines. But in the research that I did, comes to find out that Jacob was actually wrestling with God. He was actually, and in some texts it talks about him wrestling with an angel. But when he was wrestling with God, he, you know, through the course of wrestling with him up until daybreak, he was actually, you know, he had his hip knocked out of socket, and he was actually crippled from that time that he was wrestling with the Lord. And what the Lord showed me with that is, you know, from that situation with the Lord, he was left in a situation where he was at a disadvantage because with him being crippled, he knew it, in just a matter of time he would have to come across Esau. And he was at a point where he really couldn't walk after that encounter with the Lord. And he was at a disadvantage because when he did approach Esau, Esau was in a position to destroy him because Jacob could not run. So what the Lord showed me was, so a lot of times we are in situations, God allows us to be in certain situations that we would have no choice but to trust him. And Jacob was in a position where he had to trust God because he wasn't armed. He didn't have anything that he needed to take out Esau, but he was at a disadvantage. So a lot of times God puts us in that situation to see if we will trust him. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. And he also says in Hebrews 13:5, God never leaves or forsakes us. So a lot of times we're wrestling with a situation or circumstance, and we think it's the situation or circumstances that we're really dealing with, but it's really God that's really testing our ability to trust and believe him to get us through our situations. But the thing is, are we really asking God for help? A lot of times we just have to ask God for help. We don't know how God is going to help us, but we have to trust his process. We have to trust his abilities. And a lot of times we get so caught up in our own ways of trying to see how God is going to bring us through situations. But it's God that has the plan to bring us through. God doesn't want us to be independent of him. He wants us to be totally dependent on him. Jacob was at a disadvantage because he couldn't walk after wrestling with him, and God knew that he was in the position that he could not do anything else but to trust God. And that's all God wants from us. He wants us to be dependent. But a lot of times when we look at our situations in the natural, we try to figure out how we're going to make it through, and we ask God, and sometimes we think, well, God, you don't understand what I'm going through in this situation in my relationship. You don't understand what I'm dealing with on my job. You don't understand what I'm dealing with my finances. And we try to figure out how God is going to work it out. And then sometimes we get to a point where we may doubt God. But it's the asking. And see, when Jacob asked God to help deliver him from Esau, he didn't know how God was going to do it. But in his wrestling with God, God actually crippled him to the point of getting him to surrender to God to say, I am the one that you are supposed to put your trust in. In dealing with Esau, the trust must be in me, not in yourself. And when Jacob realized who he was wrestling with, the Bible also talked about the fact in Genesis 32:29 that even after he realized who he was wrestling with, he surrendered. And God blessed him as a result. So we have to get to the point where we surrender totally to the Lord. When we ask the Lord for help, we have to surrender. And even as far as accountability, even in our process right now, a lot of times we're kind of reluctant with asking for help, and a lot of times we talk about overseas. You mention all the time that if we need help, we need to ask. And a lot of times we think we can do it, but then God puts people in our lives, in our past, that are there to help us through the process. And sometimes we're reluctant to submit to it. And God puts people in our lives to help us get to that next level of the destiny that he has for us. So what I take from it is we have to totally surrender ourselves and not just, we got to know what we're wrestling against. You got to know when you're getting ready to go to the next level, it's God that's going to help you through the process. He's going to help you. But a lot of times we fight the process. We fight the growth. We fight the things that God wants for us. But he wants us to be totally surrendered and dependent on him to help us make it through. And I got a real quick testimony that the Lord actually, it happened to me last night, and I'm going to share it, and then I'm going to close it out. Last night I was driving to the gas station, and my car ran out of gas. So I had to push my car to the gas station, which was a quarter of a mile away, and I'm pushing my car, and I'm struggling, wrestling with this car, trying to get it on my own. And there were people driving by. Nobody would stop to help me. And then I'm pushing it, and what hit my spirit was, did you ask the Lord for help? And I said, and I thought about it. The Holy Spirit said, did you ask the Lord for help? And I said, in my mind, I'm like, no, I didn't even have the Lord intervene on my behalf. And when I had the Lord, when I asked the Lord for help, I said, Lord, I need your help because I'm struggling with this car. I can't even get it there. Nobody's stopping. When I asked the Lord for help, in a matter of minutes, God sent two people out of nowhere to come help me to get that car to the destination where I was going. But it only happened when I surrendered myself to say, God, I need your help. And that's all God wants. And being accountable, he wants us to surrender ourselves to God so that God can do what he needs to do with us. Amen.
Amen. Excellent, excellent illustration. Mm-hmm. Very profound. They're the things that we tend to overlook as it becomes a part of our testimony. That's what that wrestling means. Thank you so much, Pastor Billy. We have some wonderful, wonderful presentations. You guys are phenomenal. You are true teachers and preachers, and we have a whole slew. And because of that, we definitely wanted to start bringing to you these different offices, the AEN's perception and their doctrine on the offices and the function that you would be involved in and the scriptural guidance that is characteristic for your office. And I believe that's one of the reasons as we go forth, we have such a fluent flow of the Word of God. We have a lot of pastor teachers here. And so we'll get to those pastor teachers. That's one of those hyphenated gifts. And we have Apostle here to share with us as it relates to those hyphenated gifts. But I'm going to look this week at the gift of pastor. Is Bishop on the line? Nope, not sure. Don't think he was able to. But pastors, as put forth in our AEN manual, they are herdsmen and shepherds. You are the individuals who are ordained and given God's heart to tend the flock, to herd them, feed them, guard, and guide a particular group of people, congregation, or assembly. And you do this with knowledge and understanding as put forth in Jeremiah 3:5. All pastors should have had this as a part of their spiritual qualification. These are scriptures that guide that position that you're being ordained into pastors are watchmen and defenders against the enemies trying to attack the sheep. You are healers of wounded and sick sheep. You're deliverers anointed to find, get that, to find and save lost or trapped sheep. You are trusted friends who love and share their lives to earn the trust of your group of individuals that you are pastoring. And then there are your scriptures for your pastoral support. There is at least 12 of them. You should know them as pastors. You should keep them, as the Bible says, keep them around your neck, hang around your neck, write them on the tablets of your heart. There are the scriptures and the scriptural qualifications that should always be a part of whatever you think, act, or that moment forward of your ordination as a pastor. Now, there are many different types of pastoring, and that's part of those hyphenated gifts and that gift mix that Apostle will speak on. And as you took your personality test and your gift assessment test, there were certain gifts that you were assessed to be your six dominating gifts. And those gifts are the things that will support the office that you are being ordained into. We had talked last week, introduced to you last week, there are three sets of gifts mentioned in the Bible. They're the motivational gifts. Those are the gifts of the Father. They are given to you at birth. Every human being has them. They're in their DNA, and you can either use them to the glory of God or they use them for their own fulfillment. And this is the thing that have always motivated our actions, our energies, the way we think about things. These are our motivating gifts. That's what the gift set and your personality is, where you spend your energy with the pursuit of these things. It's the tactics that you use when you approach work or planning or decision making. It's the way you judge and identify the element in whatever you are experiencing in life. And that's why there are all of these, let's see, one, two, three. I think there are five segments of your personality. And these segments are those things that are part of your DNA. A lot of you have the same, the initial of ESFP, and they're entertainers as it relates to the personality assessment. And again, because so many of you are anointed as pastors, that part of what was put in your DNA was the ability to be a leader, to be a nurturer, to be a watchman and a defender, someone that was a trusted friend, someone who guided, fed, sought out those that were lost or trapped, and always sharing and watching and defending them against the enemy that would try to attack them or against any harm that you. Now, some people are very protective, an older sibling to a younger, or a younger sibling to an older sibling. One of the things that with Timothy, he is very protective, and it doesn't matter who you are or how big or old you are, you know, in his size and stature and age, he doesn't care. If someone is in harm or he thinks they are harming us, he don't even care if it's the president. you know, he feels like he should defend them, and it is in his heart to defend him, and that's part of what God has gifted him. We should look for these things not just in ourselves, but also in those that God gives to us and our children, if we have them, so that we can identify what God has put in them and then help to direct and enable them to bring it to maturity in the Word of God and not in the ways of the world. And so there are so many gifts that we have that we can use distorted, and they become quite offensive to God. So the one gift can be used either way. And these are gifts of the Father. So then we have the gifts that are given of the Holy Spirit, found in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 12. And Pastor Marlette is going to read that to us. Again, these are called the manifestation gifts. These are gifts that express or manifest the power and the working of God through believers. These gifts, okay, are you cannot dictate when this gift is to be operated. Holy Spirit does. The Spirit is the source and the one in charge of this gift, working through an available and expectant vessel. These are the manifestation gifts. Fountain. Go right ahead.
So 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 12, the Passion Translation reads, "The Spirit gives to one the gift of the word of wisdom. To another, the same Spirit gives the gift of the word of revelation knowledge. And to another, the same Spirit gives the gift of faith. And to another, the same Spirit gives the gifts of healing. And to another, the power to work miracles. And to another, the gift of prophecy. And to another, the gift to discern what Spirit is speaking. And to another, the gift to speak in different kinds of tongues. And to another, the gift of interpretation of tongues. Remember that it is the same Holy Spirit who distributes, activates, and operates these gifts as he chooses for each believer." And the 12th verse reads, "Just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that form together that form one body, so too is Christ."
Amen. Amen. These are the manifestation gifts. They manifest the power of Holy Spirit. They do not belong to us. They belong to Holy Spirit, who uses them as he sees fit and when he sees fit. And then the third is our ministry gifts. These are the gifts of the fivefold. They were given to the church by the Son of John, Jesus Christ, and specifically to facilitate and equip the body of Christ. And these gifts are found in Ephesians 4 and 11.
Ephesians 4 and 11 from the Passion Translation reads, "And he has appointed some with grace to be apostles, some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers."
Amen. So after Jesus ascended, he said he gave gifts to people who were called and gifted to lead and train the rest of the body of Christ. These gifts literally are translated a presence, and he himself gave it to individuals. One does not become by being given a name. Rather, as one develops, they are given ability to function in like ways, responding to the specific gift with a willing heart, equipping gifts, enabling the saints. That is the purpose of your gift, is to enable believers to do the work of the ministry so that the body on earth can function as his true representative. These gifts are not the possessional thing that belong to us. Rather, they are believers who are gifted to the equippers of the body of Christ. So you're given these gifts because you have been given a task to complete. We're going to have Apostle share with you on the hyphenated gifts, because as we look at our own, I'm sorry, is there, are there questions?
Okay.
As we look at those that are being ordained.
Okay, somebody is echoing. Have Apostle come under our umbrella over here. Okay, we have some that are being ordained as marketplace pastors, outreach pastors, apostolic pastors. There are pastor teachers. There are combinations of individuals or combinations of giftings under one in or on the body of one individual. Apostle, you can bring further clarification to that and the gift.
No, wait. You can't do it. You can't do it on my phone.
Are we excellent?
All right. So as we understand giftings, some of the things that begin that will help us understand this concept is to remember that we are as unique as snowflakes. There will never be anyone like us. There's never been anyone like us. And so because our spiritual combination is included of these spiritual gifts that Holy Spirit has given us, as well as our personalities, our environment, and things of that nature, those are the things that, when brought into combination together, help determine, define, and dictate with what this anointing on us looks like through the vehicle of something called spiritual gifts. So when we talk about these hyphenated gifts or giftmics, what we're talking about is two people can have the predominant gift of teaching. However, they can also have the gift of knowledge or the gift of pastoring. And so while they may have the gift of teaching, when you mix that gift of teaching with knowledge, it's going to look more like that individual that is graced to teach long-term or to teach series or to teach in from an institutional type of setting, while the other gift mix would look like an individual, that may be called in a pastoral type of teaching scenario. So part of what we want to look at when we talk about these hyphenated or these gift mixes, understanding that the word of the Lord tells us that everybody has been given a gift. And so whether we've been given one gift or multiple gifts, it is all at the discrepancy of the Holy Spirit. Because 1 Corinthians 12 and 11 through and 18 reminds us of that fact. So there is nothing that we've done or have not done to earn or to qualify us for a gift. But what we do with that gift is going to determine what it looks like. So, Overseer has so graciously given me some information, and so let's look at some combination. So let's look at the gift of teaching, and let's look at the gift of, well, we kind of did teaching and wisdom or teaching and knowledge. Or let's look at the gift of teaching and the gift of healing. And so we talk about on a regular basis, the manifestation of healing, the anointing of healing. But when you take the anointing of healing and you mix it or you include in it or the gift mixture of that anointing includes a primary gift of teaching, begin to have that individual who is capable of teaching us how to live, maintain, and sustain a healing, so not just releasing an anointing to be, but releasing an anointing to be sustained, teaching us now that I'm healed, how do I live? Teaching us now that I'm healed, how do I go forward? So when we look at these combinations of gifts, oftentimes what we'll find is that one gift will give the direction to how another gift will express itself through that vehicle, being the uniquely us individuals, okay, or the unapologetically you. So when we look at maybe the gift teacher, a daughter, and word of knowledge, wow, teacher, a daughter, word of knowledge, helps and administration. So someone has all those gifts, and they equal out the same. So the teacher and daughter work. I'm sorry. So when we look at the teacher and daughter word of knowledge and health and administration, we see the spiritual gift mix or the hyphenated manifesting itself through a phenomenal server. We've often called this serve, but some people are graced to serve in a multiplicity of capacities, so they are able to minister in teaching, minister the mercy of Christ with divine wisdom, insight, and understanding, but actually in an environment where we understand how it flows. Perfectly, that makes sense for somebody. So they're giving me papers with names. So this person happens to be an apostolic pastor. What does that say to us there? That says this individual is given to the church and the kingdom because you have pastor and apostolic. So they are what I'm just going to call a combo anointing, okay? So they're given to both the church and to the kingdom to serve administratively in authority and power to set up and teach and minister to individuals both inside and outside the four walls.
And that individual is the phone. I'm just going to say. And that individual has the gift of exhortation, which is one of encouragement, and she has the gift of giver. And so these are her natural, these are her God-given gifts. And as a result, her ministry is going to look like things because these are some of the powerful motivational gifts in her that was given in her from birth. And I hope she knows who we're talking about because we're looking at her paperwork, which is why I encourage you all to bring it to the table with you. And so what that gives you is an understanding of how in all of the areas where teaching is, under your composite, under your ministry gift, under your manifestation gift, and not under manifestation, I'm sorry, but under your motivation gift, that is a indication of what is going to look like what you do. So we want to... No, go ahead, Apostle. Okay? So we want you to be able to look at those areas and look at your life and see how God has moved through you to bring you. Remember, this is bringing the Jacob out of, the Israel out of Jacob and how he's doing this. And what it's going to look like. And you can tell what it's going to look like by looking at the things that have been assessed just by the answering of questions that actually help define your thinking, your what motivates you, what your passion is, what you give your energy to, how your mind judges and identifies a thing. And so all of these things are now available to you so that you don't necessarily have to walk around bumping into walls saying, well, I'm just not sure what I'm supposed to do. So even if it's just two things that you see being brought out through this process, then that's what you look at, and that's what you rely on Holy Spirit to continue to bring the revelation to you through those areas. Are there any questions or comments? I know we're going through this rather quickly, and it's kind of difficult on the phones, but we will touch bases more specifically at the conference during your track so that those questions of actually let's look at your things and put them together and some of the directions that God is giving you. Are there any questions or comments?
Okay.
None? Amazing. Are you guys still there? So before we
yes,
go,
I'm still here.
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay. One of the things I do want to share with you, Elder Sherita can give you an update on where you should be and what's coming up. Two new things have developed. But Elder Sherita?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
So for the most part, everyone should have received the ordination invitations this past weekend. There were two different styles for you to choose from, and you can actually begin distributing those invitations to your guests. And also, just to remind everybody, just if you haven't registered for the conference, please register. The registration information has been sent to you, and it will continually to be sent to you every week from either LFC Ministries or with the weekly reminder meeting emails that come out. And the last thing that I have is that everyone should have also received an email this weekend letting you know, if you didn't know, what group you were in and the requirements that you're responsible for turning in by June 30th. And that's all I have.
All right. So we do want to remind people that when you signed up and you gave your application and you paid your application fee, that is a fee that's apart from your registration for the conference. So you do need to make a registration for the conference, and Elder Sherita sent those out. They're attached to the emails that's gone out. You need to fill that out, and you need to pay your registration for your conference. Also, we're going to have a mandatory gathering on Sunday, July 29th. I do believe Sunday, July 29th. It's going to be from 3 to 5. It is mandatory. That will be the absolute last time that you can turn in your portfolio and the final assessment of your projects. So for those that have projects, those that have portfolios, that needs to be brought to the location on Sunday, July 29th from 3 to 5. We will give you the actual location at the next meeting. We also want to prepare you to be ready to go into your consecration. It will be a consecration that will start on July 1st. The consecration starts your spiritual preparation. You've already gotten your preparation as it relates to your administrative things and your accountability things and your studying things and your history, your bios, that sort of thing. Your paperwork is done. Now we lay that down, we lay that, and then we focus on our heart and our soul and our mind, relinquishing it, surrendering it to the process that God has for it, and we will do that through a consecration. That consecration will be presented to you next week, and it will start July 1st. So look for it. Make sure that you are keeping your journals updated, that you have this information of your progress, your process, and that which Holy Spirit releases and relinquishes to you. We will have an upcoming list when you look at the archive or for the upcoming classes. You will see a list of the topics that are going to be presented, and so that if you have questions, you may have them prepared. If there's information you need to know, ask in advance, and then you can have it during the class presentation. So we do want to remind you of those things and those presenters that are forthcoming, that we do want to kind of limit you guys to 5 to 7 minutes, so we will never get through everything we have to do without going over the time. So again, even though there is much to share, I pray that you've also documented it and you have it in writing and it is a part of your portfolio or your paperwork, and that you are going to bring it, submit it, email it, however you want to get that information to us, so that it can be a part of the structural presentations for the 2018 class. All right. So if all hearts and minds are prepared, we will. Yes, absolutely.
About the journals, do they have to be like traditional, you know, journals, or can it be something a little non-traditional, like an art journal?
Oh, awesome. However, it does not have to be traditional. It could be digital. There's so many different things out there. Art, it could be a food presentation. It could be whatever and however, you know, your anointing and your gifting will bring it forth. Excellent question. No, it does not have to be on journal form. It could be a timeline. It could be a collage. It could be pictures. It could be an array of scripture that shows a path to someplace. It could be a puzzle. And, you know, I think it would be very, very awesome for these things to be a part of, you know, your legacy with this class. So absolutely, anything. Any more questions? Concerns, comments, insight. Okay.
No question. So, like, if we do a digital wait, we're submitting these, am I correct? Okay, so if we're submitting a digital journal, then do those go directly to you?
Yes.
Okay, got it. That's all I needed. Thank you.
Okay, no problem.
Overseer?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
I hear you.
Oh, okay. The journal, is that for everyone?
Yes, it is for all the candidates.
And a bio also?
Well, now, your bio... Let me see. Do you have to do a portfolio?
Yes.
Yeah, it's your bio should be in your portfolio. Yes.
And a journal? This is the first time I've heard of a journal also, because I have not been journaling. So I didn't pay any attention to turn in a journal. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, you know what? You can do reflections. You can call it reflections on this process, your ups and downs, because, you know, however, you know, you like it, don't like it, you hate it, you love it, you maybe and not, and okay, bye. It doesn't have to be in depth. It can be one word. It can be a smiley face. It could be a whole thing of emojis, you know, and with all the faces, you know, smiley, angel, death, you know. Yes, ma'am.
Don't tell me that, cause
Overseer.
I'm serious.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, this Overseer, this is Candidate Davina. This is Candidate Davina Anderson. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say thank you to Pastor Ford, because I have my own personal journal, but it's not something that I would submit because it got so much stuff in it. But I also appreciate you, Overseer, for making it clear that we can do something else. Thank you, Pastor Ford, because I had not been doing a separate journal either. Sorry.
Oh, amen. Not a problem. Amen. Not a problem. Not a problem. Any more questions? Excellent. That's why we're dialogue. That's exactly why we're dialogue. And I understand, Elder Sharita. As we prepare for one of our men of God to pray us and cover this and our hearts and our minds as we surrender to the process of Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm.
Father God, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your loving kindness that you have shown to us. We thank you that you said in your word, in all things give thanks, because this is the will of God concerning us. So, Father, we not only pray that you would strengthen that which remains, but you would strengthen us for our future. And, Father, we pray that you would bind the hand of the enemy on every hand. We pray, Father God, that no weapon that's formed against every candidate shall be able to prosper. And, Father, we just thank you. We give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you praise. We thank you for Overseer. We thank you for those that are on the board of the AEN network. And we pray that you continue to strengthen them and to give them joy in this season, because it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And we lift our hands and say thank you for everything. We thank you because we have not chosen you, but you have chosen us to advance ministry. Yes. You have entrusted us with this anointing. You have entrusted us with the call. You have entrusted us with the anointing, and we give you glory for that. We honor you for that, and we say hallelujah for that. And, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for our apostle. And we pray that you'll continue to bless her. We thank you that she's living in the open season. She's living in the season of the open heaven. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Mond.
Yes, ma'am.
Do be blessed by Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Bless you.
Bye.